2016 marks Between the Lines' 25th year on the air. As we celebrate our all-volunteer independent media project's anniversary, please consider subscribing to our podcasts and supporting our work. Visit our website at btlonline.org, that's btlonline.org, for details on how to subscribe and make a contribution.
For the first time, the United States military dropped more bombs and launched more missiles from drones in Afghanistan than with conventional aircraft last year. NATO officially ended military operations in Afghanistan in 2014, but some 9,800 U.S. troops remain in the South Asian nation. In 2015, drones dropped 53% of all bombs and missiles in Afghanistan, lower in tonnage than 2014, but the number of drone missions doubled since the surge of NATO forces when over 100,000 U.S. troops were deployed in Afghanistan. America's drone war in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Yemen is a covert operation, and little information is available about civilian victims of drone strikes. The Guardian newspaper interviewed 8 family members of drone strike victims in Pakistan and Yemen. Families are struggling to recover and receive compensation for injuries. The Obama White House has promised to release an official tally of drone deaths, but victims' families have low expectations and are not expecting any apologies. Rafiq Or Rehman, whose grandmother and father were killed in a drone attack in tribal Pakistan, observed, "If America kills any Westerner, they apologize and compensate. But if it's Pakistanis like us, they don't care." 3 years ago, Egyptian tech entrepreneur Omar Gaber was getting ready to travel to Silicon Valley to make a presentation about his new software company, Instabug. At the time, Egyptians were pouring into the streets to demand the resignation of Islamist President Mohamed Morsi, who days later was toppled in a military coup. Unable to get a visa to travel to California, Gaber watched his presentation on Twitter, made on his behalf by a friend. Today, Instabug is a hit, used on 100 million mobile devices. Despite years of upheaval, a struggling economy, and increasing repression under President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi, Egypt's startup sector is thriving. For some young entrepreneurs, creating a business is a way to work toward a positive future when avenues of political change appear closed. Some consider their work in Egypt as a form of resistance against a corrupt and authoritarian system. Ahmed Zahran, co-founder of a company that produces solar-powered irrigation and pumping systems, says, "The same problem that we had with former President Mubarak is a problem that we have with business as well, because there are tens and tens of Mubaraks and Sisis in business, and we are trying to topple them by creating business models that are more resilient, that do not depend on bribes and being close to government and kickbacks." 1 year after Freddie Gray died in the custody of the Baltimore police, city resident Sean Young was arrested for interfering with police officers. A year earlier, Young was a high-profile protester who was seen grabbing a CNN reporter's microphone and cussing out the news network on live TV in the violent aftermath of Gray's death in inner-city Baltimore. To Young, many of the circumstances that spurred the riot are much the same as when Gray died on April 19, 2015. Gray's arrest for an alleged illegal switchblade and his death resulting from injuries sustained while in a police paddy wagon a week later spurred escalating protests that cast an international spotlight on police and race relations in Baltimore. The neighborhood that Freddie Gray lived in was rife with abandoned apartments, sky-high unemployment, and drug abuse. Housing advocates across Baltimore are pushing for a $40 million fund to transform entire neighborhoods with affordable housing run by community land trusts. At present, tens of thousands of Baltimore residents remain at risk for homelessness and lack access to good jobs. Todd Shirkus of the Community Labor Alliance United Workers explained, "When you leave it up to the market to solve the housing, it's a failure. The other way to do this is for the public to invest to correct speculative pressures, which would create a lot of jobs." This week's news summary was compiled by Bob Nixon. For Between the Lines, I'm Leslie Rudden.